The Apprenticeship Diaries, where raw meets refined. What it took, what it takes, and the stories that are made. Sit back and relax and join us for interviews with top tattoo artists.
Is it recording?
Yeah, it's recording.
Right now?
Right now.
Oh, okay, cool.
Hello, Apprenticeship Diary listeners. We're doing a fun kind of ramble jam today. I do have things announced, but first I want to announce this, which is a kind of an up top apology, because this is late coming to you. I wanted to do something epic for episode 20 in 2020, but
You just have me.
No, it worked out beautifully.
I want to do something epic.
So we're here with Nicole,
Hi.
My good friend and a repeat client. We're ticking away at this leg sleeve, which she's tired of working on.
Yes, I am.
And we'll talk about, I mean, let's start with that because, you know, I think people have a lot of, you know, lofty romantic views about getting these huge tattoos.
I tell you, leg sleeve is no joke compared to an arm sleeve. I only have half my arm done, but I'm already telling that finishing it's going to be much easier than my leg.
Yeah.
You just don't realize the circumference of your leg until you're doing it and how many sessions it takes. Like, people still ask me how many hours. I'm like, I don't know. I have not been counting because it's a lot and it's painful and people don't realize that, hey, certain spots on your leg are awful.
Yeah.
So...
Well, and like we were talking this morning, just to introduce everybody, Rico's here with us, our co-host, and I'm here, Amy Nichols.
Yeah.
As your main person, and Nicole Stecca, she's joining us. And the wonderful thing is, Lizzie, she's like, I have such a great experience with my tattoo artist because we, at least me, I'll work with my clients especially, but the ones I love and really like. I offer my home, you know, like, come and stay with me because I know what I'm putting you through. Like, it's ridiculous
yeah.
what I'm putting you through. So I definitely, and that's my phone, so that'll go off. We're getting everything. Earlier when I was doing sound checks, I got Ica's purring.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was like, purr.
That's like ASMR.
Yeah. Oh, it was very great. But, yeah, she's like, oh, I get to, you know, sleep over here. Rico always brings us pizza.
It's the whole experience. You know, you get tattooed,
you get fed,
and then you take a nap, and it's great.
Hawaiian pizza, white.
Well, and you're Hawaiian coming pizza. From Jersey.
Jersey.
So it's like a two-hour hike. And,
yes.
You know, leaving with a leg sleeve, that's the other thing. Like, she's been saying,
bend my knee.
I know. I'm not going up and down those stairs any more than I have to because I have stairs in my house.
Yes.
She's like, I'm thinking about my whole routine and how I have to move. And that's what people don't realize is that you're so limited.
Yeah.
Like, even just your plans later tonight.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, let's go go-karting. How about no? Can't bend my knee.
Go-karting. That sounds fucking
And my
awesome.
Ankle is a cankle.
I know.
Damn.
Well,
I would like
go-karting.
To go go-karting. Damn.
You just do laps around everybody.
That's awesome.
Like, how could you ever think of go-karting as a bad thing unless you have your entire knee
Unless
tattooed.
Your right leg is significantly more swollen than your left
yeah.
leg.
Get and, fucked like, up and go go-karting.
That sounds lovely for healing a tattoo.
Absolutely not.
She
tells it to a nurse.
Yeah.
Go get fucked up and drive a go-kart. And in my nurse brain, I'm like, oh my God, there's 10,000 different final destinations that
yes,
could happen.
Yes, exactly. Like, no, we were watching when I was driving her home last night, we were watching this. He was very like kamikaze with his driving style on that motorcycle.
Oh God, I did not like watching him.
No, and I just was like, I'm going to let him get some distance.
Just a random motorcyclist that was like driving alongside of us. And she's like, oh, he making me nervous. You know, when you have
right.
those ones that are zipping through and you just picture something bad
yeah,
happening.
The way he was driving was so like erratic. And he was like going from one edge
right.
of the lane to the next and like swerving. And he had this, I don't know. It was freaking me out. Like, I have that nurse brain without.
Oh, my God. I can't shut it off.
I'm just like,
whenever,
oh, my God.
Whenever I see him doing that, I'm just like, well, they'll probably be scraping your ass off the road soon.
My dad
calls them donor cycles.
Donor cycles.
Because they're
Damn.
Basically organ donors
yes.
because they usually hit their heads, and then they're young, and their organs are viable, and it's like, oh.
Damn, that's a great
story.
Fucking name. Donor cycles. Anybody that rides a motorcycle, it's a donor cycle.
It's a donor cycle.
Because it's not... if you go down, it's when you go down. They all get fucked up. My dad used to race motorcycles in Italy when he was young. He's got a metal fucking femur now. It's like, you're, and that's in Italy. And in Italy, where people are used to seeing motorcycles, they still hit those motherfuckers.
So when I look at motorcycles, I feel a lot of things. But one of them is, you know, relevant to me. They are usually very heavily tattooed people. And when I see a tattoo that one is exposed, like people on a motorcycle with shorts on, I want to throw up. One, because they're exposing it to massive amounts of sunlight that I'm sure that you did not put a lot of, because I see old bikers, you know, they don't look like they've touched a thing.
They look like the fucking saddlebags on the side of the bike.
Yeah, like they're mashing their leather. So
like, they're little blurred tattoos.
I know.
Yes. Leather.
I get them as patients, I'm telling you.
So there I'm like, you know, like there's
and they wear the wolf
side.
T-shirts.
Like, there's this subtle.
No,
side.
They're the kind of patient that want to keep their little ball caps on, like while sitting in bed. I'm like, can you just give me your stuff?
And they all have the fucking. They're like Scottish, 100% my bloodline. Got a fucking dream catcher tattooed on their shoulder with all the rest of this Native American bullshit.
Excuse me, I have a dream catcher tattoo. Back off.
Like, back off. Don't you tell me what to do.
Yeah, but you're not a 60-year-old guy with a long-ass beard.
Hilarious.
I could be in another life.
There's that, and then I'm just thinking of their skin, like, being scraped off the pavement, like, with pavement. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, you don't have any appreciation for your own life, let alone the tattoo that's on you.
A cop buddy of mine was telling me one time he rolled up onto a scene where a UPS truck, the driver was in the back trying to get something, and a car fucking came up and accidentally hit him and shoved him onto the car. And he said it just peeled the whole front end, like all of him just peeled it right off. He says, I've seen a lot of shit as a police officer. He's like, but that shit, I threw up, man. He's like, all over the fucking place. He's like, a lot of us did, except for like one or two people.
And those one or two people have seen some shit.
Yeah.
Because I'm picturing this as a nurse, and I'm just like, oh my God. I would rather die.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I killed a motherfucker, like, instantly.
Yeah.
I think the impact of the initial, I think they said that because the car hit him so fast and hard, I think that when he hit the, it's like fucking just broke his back.
Now, things like that, do they take them to the hospital then still? I'm just curious.
Usually, because paramedics can't pronounce people. Really only
pretty obvious.
No,
there.
But that's the thing. You know they're dead, but you still have to bring them to an ER so that they can pronounce them. Or when you see someone's dead out on the scene.
And you just told us yesterday, which, you know, hug your local nurse, because she just told us yesterday that she has to actually wash and prep the bodies. Like, if they come in on her...
Oh, yeah. I was telling my friends that I had a really bad shift, and they're just like, oh, why? I'm like, oh, you know, it always sucks when your patient dies and you have to put them in a body bag. And they're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You have to put them in the body bag? And I'm like, yes. And it never gets easier, and it never feels okay, and it always fucks me up for a few days.
Yeah.
Like, I know some older nurses can shake it off, but, like, look, I've only been doing this for 4 to 5 years. It still freaking bothers me. I mean, I've only done it 3 or 4 times. Thank God. I mean, we're pretty good. Like, the only people I have experienced die are older people that are supposed to die. Like, their families are ready for it.
Right.
I've never seen, like, someone young die yet.
Wow.
I have as a nursing student.
Yeah.
I was in a medical ICU, and it wasn't our patient, but they were coding someone, and he was, like, 20, 30.
Wow.
He had, like, really bad pulmonary hypertension, which is a really, really bad disease.
Whoa.
And he wasn't compliant with his meds. But basically, I watched that guy die. And then they're like, here, little nursing student, come help us put him in the bag. So that started in nursing school. And he was a young guy, and I couldn't get his fucking face out of my head. Because here's this young person, and you're looking at their face, and they look... It does not look like they're sleeping, let me tell you.
Well, and I would imagine... Yeah. I mean, that's my thing, too, is that, like, I'm always kind of less... upset when it's an older person, because I'm like, you had your time. But when it's a young person, you know, it's just the ripple effect. It's what it does to you, but then also knowing that, like, this was a shock to their family.
Yeah,
but this came out of nowhere for everybody, and just knowing that the weight of all that stuff is,
it's still so messed up looking down at this older person who has passed, touching their skin and it being cold, and just like looking, and like we always say I'm sorry as like we're turning them and stuff, because like it's hard, you know, like,
and the families are there typically.
No, we don't do any of the We give them their time. They stay there. Okay. We do everything when they leave.
Got you.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I remember when my aunt was coming off machines, and that was at that phase.
Yes.
They were like, this will make her more comfortable.
Yeah.
And
that part is hard.
Yeah.
For sure. But I'm telling you, the after part, because there's always this, like, just this quiet hush. Like, you're working with your other coworker, just like, oh, here, we need, because you take all the tape off and everything. Right. Unless for some reason it's like a weird medical case, then you leave everything in. But if you don't have a weird medical situation going on, like say it was a younger person or they were just admitted, then you'd probably need like an autopsy. But usually, you know, it's their passing, they can't donate any organs, and you're just getting them ready. So you have to pull out all the tubes that they had and everything. So it's just like weird.
What's the thing with the organ donation? Like,
every single time someone passes away, you do have to call organ donation. Okay. And usually they ask you a couple questions, like what's their history? Like if they have dementia, they're never interested. Usually their age, they're not interested. Oh. But the last lady I had pass away, she was in her 50s, and they were interested in her tissue, which is something that you can do up to 24 hours after they pass. So we were just waiting on the daughter to decide. But
now tissue being
tissue, like I think they can take like,
I was gonna say,
I didn't ask them many questions because I've actually never had a patient go to organ donation. Like say someone it happens up in cardiac ICU a lot. Say someone codes and then they cool them and then they try to warm them back up and they're kind of brain dead.
Right.
They do all these tests to find out they're brain dead. If they're brain dead and on a vent and their families want them to donate, then it goes into this whole crazy process of keeping the body as regulated as you can to get those vital organs.
Right.
But when someone has passed away naturally, all those vital organs die with them.
Yes.
But then you can take like eye tissue and stuff.
Gosh,
so that's what she was eligible for. Mm-hmm. But I've never done the crazy, like keep this patient perfectly stable until we can take their organs. I've never done all that.
Gotcha.
But I've heard it's really
them
cool.
Alive, like their brain.
Yes. Yeah, like they're brain dead, but they're still alive.
The organs have to be kept in a certain way before they're harvested. And if you can keep them, it's like fish. So if you go fishing and you want to put fish on ice, the best way to put fish on ice is how they would be swimming in the water. So like you ice them from their bellies. Like if you ever wonder why they're kind of mostly being iced from their bellies, it's because you keep them in the state that they were swimming in. And that's kind of how,
I mean, as a fisherman, I think that's a load of shit. Cause I've been throwing fish in the cooler, like, however the fuck, and they taste the same either way. I've been fishing since I was like four.
You guys eat them very.
I'm
talking about if you keep them on ice for a long time.
Oh, you're talking about like selling them in the grocery store?
Yeah,
you're supposed to
ice them in a way that where.
Oh, okay, I got you now.
Yeah,
that might also be for storage purposes.
Yes. Yeah.
Because if you know, you could go like that.
Yeah.
You know.
But see, that's the thing with, like, you know, if you're harvesting an organ, and this is not meant to be eaten. It's meant to be put in another human. So you have to keep it in the human.
Well, how did we end up comparing these two things? It's so crazy.
Well, I mean, this kind of leads into the...
life.
Well, I mean, I'm happy because it's better than what we were coming up with. We have an admission. The other reason why... it's taking so long is because Rico wanted to get very stoned.
Off an indica.
Yes. When we tried to record before and it was just awful. Like I mean I was getting some things out, but there was too long a pause. We were way too messed up, and I kinda knew that I wouldn't be good for it. And I was just like, we can't do this now. Like,
meanwhile,
can't
now we're having a coffee chat, which is much more lively.
It's absolutely.
Lively. I do better.
Coffee and combo.
I do better in the mornings anyway.
I do not.
I know.
I used to. So I have it back in the back of my brain. It's like, hey, bitch, you used to be a morning person.
Yeah.
Get the fuck up.
See, with the Why I'm Single, Amy D's got the right idea, man. She brings out this monster,
magical coffee.
Thing of coffee, and it has this fucking button, and you just hit it, and it's like...
I don't know. This has been a pretty magical cup of coffee. The hottest cup of coffee.
I know. Isn't it great?
Yeah, but she keeps people talking. She's just like, here. And then she kept filling my cup. I'm like, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, he loves it. And we have to get to her house. So there's that whole point of like waking up enough to drive, and there's that lull. But yeah, I just function better in the morning. Like my brain, like I was saying last night, when I was in college, I wouldn't be the one that would stay up all hours of night and try to work that. I would wake up at like 3 a.m. and do my projects for the next day if it was going to be like that. Cause I just,
But you know, it's funny, moving into my later 20s, the more people that tell me, like, oh, yeah, I'm a grandpa, I pass out at 10 p.m., like, a lot of people do that nowadays, and they joke about it, but I'm like, you know, that's fairly normal, right?
Yeah. Like,
for me, it's not, because when, you know, the nights, being a night shifter, I'm off four nights a week, and, you know, sometimes they're all together, sometimes they're every other, but my nights off, I now no longer can go to sleep at that time. I usually, my body's awake till 2 or 3 a.m., and then I wake up at noon, and people don't get it, but I'm like, that's what my body does. It's, yeah. I'm a night shifter.
Well, you're a night shifter. Yeah. I was just noting that it wasn't picking me up really well, and I don't know if my, like, my voice is...
Well, you're not leaning over the table.
You're so much softer than Rico and I.
Yeah, it's weird.
You just have a soft, soothing voice, which is why our tattoo sessions go so well, because I just get to listen to you for 8 hours, and I'm like, yes.
And then my voice is like,
I don't want to hit your leg.
Good.
Jesus. Oh, it's on the other side. Cool. But I figured if I moved over here, I'd be registered, because it is picking me up.
Well, but we're also leaning over the table, so we're closer to the mic than you.
So I need to lean. Okay, I'll lean.
Or we can just move it closer to you.
No. I just want to make sure that it's picking me up enough. It's picking me up better.
Oh, it'll pick up my voice from, like, in the kitchen.
Oh, my God. Okay. I love when Rico just tests, like, his manliness. Like, I could be across the room, and that motherfucker will still hear me.
Everything.
Oh, my God. It's my favorite.
It's going to make it stronger.
Like, oh, Rico, I'm going to hit you. That's fine. You'll break your hand. I'll deflect your tiny punches.
I'll
little baby fists.
I tell you, though, everybody needs a Rico when they get tattooed, because he will just ask you if you need water. He comes up, he's like, do you want hot coffee? And I swear, I've never been offered, like, do you want hot coffee? Like, just everyone's always like, do you want coffee? And Rico comes up, do you want hot coffee? And you know what? He delivers hot fucking coffee.
Hot fucking coffee.
Hell yeah.
But he's the best tattoo buddy.
Give you a diabetic coma.
Yeah.
That's how you drink it. Well, when you're getting tattooed, you're losing, your blood sugar's dropping, so you gotta replace that
shit. That's definitely great. It's like, true. She was very, very thankful.
Glycogen stores, all that.
He kept me alive.
Yeah.
8.5 hours in, and, you know, you're still going, and it's like, that was because of Rico and Amy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I can't really say it was because of me. I think that we work you through, like, your rhythms.
No, because there is a few points when you look at me and you don't even have to ask me if I'm okay. You know I'm not okay. Yeah. And then you offer something to make it better.
That's the key, is when you start grabbing your face.
When my face is physically in a pillow, I'm probably dying.
Yeah. No, but anybody, when they bury their face or they cover
their arms up,
or they touch their face, it's like, you know, it's beyond their abilities.
You're basically reaching into a part of your soul where you're just like, please, like, take the pain away and let me just get through this. Because I know once you move past a certain point, I'll be okay. So you have to, like, mentally, it's like you're, like, repeating a mantra to yourself or something just to get through it.
Yeah, no, totally.
But for the most part, tattooing is, if it was like that for 8 hours, no one would do it. Mm-hmm. It's just bits and pieces.
Yeah, no, totally. It's 100%.
That shit burns the whole time.
No, it doesn't.
You just lied to everybody.
You've never been tattooed by Amy.
You've never been,
I'm telling you, she's significantly
long
different.
Long enough to clock, like, how the waves of it is.
Yeah, you're just,
well, the person that tattooed me, I wouldn't even want to clock. I was like this big old burly ass lady that was leaning on me the whole time. I swear to God, my fucking chair was like dipping. It was like leaning.
Just picture like Shrek of a woman tattooed me.
It was, man. It was fucking Fiona straight up, but she wasn't green. Just these big old, like,
well, just wait until
hands.
Amy does your chest piece. Then you'll be a whole different experience.
Yeah, and, you know, what we were getting at is, like, you know, like you said, I have no cortisol level, and there's, like, adrenaline spikes. There's, like, there's a whole, like, wave of things that you go through when you're clocking hours worth of tattooing. Like, your body goes through these,
it's crazy,
dips and spikes. It's weird.
Like, remember we used to do 4-hour sessions?
Yeah.
That feels like nothing now. Yeah. Like, if I don't go to the point of my body is cold, shut down, numb, like, then have I really been tattooed? Like, if I literally came up to you and been like, hey, I want a little 2-hour thing on my wrist, like, you'd be like, what? And then we're gonna move to something else, right? Because, like, man, it takes you to a point where you're just like, I can't believe the body can do this.
Yeah.
It's weird, though, because it's like you're allowing it to happen. You're like, I'm going to allow my body to be in pain continuously for 8 hours. And it's weird.
It's very weird. And I think it takes a lot more than you think it does.
It does.
You know, your mental agreeance to submitting yourself to pain.
Yeah.
Your body's firing off a bunch of shit.
The second that thing starts cutting your skin up, your body's starting to try to heal it.
You're very physical. Both of you are very physical and like into workouts and stuff. And I get a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm on this regimen. I got to keep my workouts down. And like, that's the day, man, where you don't feel the workout you're getting, but you're getting a workout.
Oh, my butt clenched on and off the whole time. So my butt's feeling good.
Right?
Oh, man.
See, that's the thing. You know, you just don't feel any of that stuff while it's happening. And you wake up the next morning and be like, why are my shoulders sore?
It's just a tense.
Yeah.
You tense up. And it's funny because I'm like 5 minutes into being tense and I'm like, oh, let me relax. And you feel your body relax and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
There was a point, though, when you were doing the back of my knee. And I got like into this Zen mode and I wanted to tell you like, hey, I'm in Zen mode, like keep going. But I couldn't even say it because I was so chill. Like, but I had put myself there. It was like I walked up a fucking mountain to get to Zen mode. And I'm like, I feel really good. And I should tell her that like I'm not being quiet because I don't feel good. But I was like, nah, she knows.
Yeah, no, I know. And I'm going to take advantage of
Zen mode.
That. Plus you can feel it too. Like as the practitioner, I mean, you know, you work with people, you can feel their bodies physically. Relax.
Yeah.
You can feel and your skin gets real taut and real like aggressively, I don't know, it just pushes back at the ink. So
you know, I think that's a natural defense.
Yeah.
You know how like when our body shivers when it's cold to make it warmer, like I really do believe that the skin is that crazy too, and it's like hey, this is hurting. It's been hurting for a long time.
Yep.
I need to like protect myself.
Yep. That happens to me because last night I can clock when I'm getting tired.
Yeah.
Because when I get tired, I get cold.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to start wrapping myself in warm blankets and stuff. And it's my body literally shutting down system at a time. I think my natural heat abilities are not working the way that they used to work. And so I know when I'm getting tired, which was happening last night.
That was the first time I got cold during tattooing.
Yeah.
That's how you know I was spent.
You were done.
Oh, my God.
She was like, okay, my body is officially drained.
And again, get a buddy like Rico. Hey, Rico, can you go in my trunk and find my fuzzy coat, please? Just drape it over top of me.
And then, you said that bag. I forgot it started with a V or whatever. You said it was like this one color. So then I popped the fucking trunk open. And I'm just like, what the fuck, man? None of this shit is even real.
By
and I'm
the
like
way,
looking
I
through.
Said Vera Bradley, which everyone knows. It's a really patterned fucking bag. And
I
had one bag in there.
I have no idea what a Vera
Look
Bradley
at my fashion sense.
I know.
I said the biggest
there,
overnight
non-existent
bag that was in my trunk.
I'll post it.
And I don't even know what that means. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh
so then
God.
I'm looking, and I was like, is it this fucking flower bag? So then I look on the front of it, and I'm like, okay, it has a zipper. So then I open it, and there's a bunch of shit in the front zipper. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
Oh my God. Rico, can you find my iPhone charger? Takes 10 years to find fucking iPhone charger exactly where I told him where it was.
I'm a droid user.
Oh my God. No, even worse, trying to get him to put a song onto the playlist.
Oh my God. It was
Jesus
hilarious.
Christ.
No, because
bring me the whole laptop.
You were like, I thought you said that this one song was by this person, but the playlist was Good Vibes and the song was Man Down.
Wait.
I'm looking for a band named Man
Good
Down with the song Good Vibes. Good BBs.
He's literally like, is it Good BBs? And I'm like, oh my
good
God.
BBs.
So the rest of the night, instead of getting vibe checked, we got good VB checked.
Yep, it's
check,
now
hey,
VB.
Take your bad VBs and get out. 2020, it's not vibes anymore, it's VBs.
It's VBs.
But what I would love is that, like, you're like, wait a minute, what am I doing? And then you would pause, and then you do something, and then you'd be like, wait a minute, what am I doing again?
I was looking
and then
for
I was just like, give me my fucking phone. I've got
the
it.
Playlist
I might be
made.
Getting tattooed, but I will do it.
I will do this.
Yeah, I was looking for a band named Man Down by with a song called Good
Vibes. Hilarious.
Oh my God.
I was like, this is bullshit. It's non-existent.
You know what they say with men? It's got to be step by step.
Well, I mean,
open fridge.
Specifics.
I mean, I'm learning that's not like, that's not too far. It's such a weird thing about what you perceive as being intuitive and what isn't. Like, for me, like that whole like, oh, it's common sense. Be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's bring that back because you think, who the fuck doesn't know what a Vera Bradley is? And he's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Vera Bradley, look at him.
I don't even
know
pop culture.
He doesn't even know what an overnight bag is.
I know.
Yeah, no shit.
Wait,
it's right
there. And he's, you know, I love you. Yeah, he's like, look at me. He's wearing a Grateful Dead t-shirt with the sleeves cut off because his lats rub into the back of his arms too much. Mm-hmm. And his shoulders are the size of a normal person's head.
Oh, God, it must suck being muscular.
I know. Well, I mean.
No, it's awesome being muscular.
Except for when you're doing things, because it's awesome doing muscular things. But when you're just driving in the car, again.
And I'm sitting there like.
Like, I can't move.
Rubbing on the, God damn it. My arms.
Wow. So I was going to show off that I was podcasting on Snapchat and I'm scrolling through the filters and there's a good VBs.
Good VBs.
That's awesome. That's perfect.
Man, I'm going to use
such a hype person. Like, that's the other thing about Nicole is like, you're so good at social media.
Oh,
things.
God, that is not a compliment.
No, it's great.
It means I'm on my phone too much.
No.
And I'm aware of it.
No. Well, I mean.
And I'm aware of it.
Well, I mean, I guess that's, I mean, for somebody like me, it's an envy because, you know, your generation just rolls right into it and thinks of it. And, like, it's a part of the everyday thing. And it's not ever been that for me. And I really, really, really want to try and be better about it. Like, but.
Well, it helps for your field. I mean, you know, to get your artwork out there and everything. I swear to God, I could just be a little social media girl and just like.
I know. It's fantastic.
Run your social media.
So that's the thing. I mean, a lot of people have offered. And my biggest thing is like, I know what an imposition is to me. So maybe I shouldn't like resist that help so much. But I almost like, I want to adopt a knowledge of it just so that I know what I'm asking somebody else to do for me. And it would mean indoctrinating you to more of your phone, you know, stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's overrated.
It is.
I just do it because I do it. Like, it's just like, oh, I'm doing something fun. Let me just post about it. Like, it's just natural, which is weird because I grew up without a cell phone. Like, I am, you know, I'm from the early 90s and, like, we didn't have cell phones until we were, like, practically in high school. And now kids have them when they're, like, 7. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, but you remind me of that friend that was always like, okay, let's get a group photo.
True. Like, and that is what happens. It's like, I want to remember this. Mm-hmm. And like we were talking about this morning, hey, a year ago, I was sitting at my Aunt Maria's house in full snow. And that's when we finished, like it popped up on Facebook that Amy did my half sleeve. I'm like, oh, hey, a year ago, we did my half sleeve. Yeah. And that's why I like it, because it brings up old stuff. You know, except for like past friends and past boyfriends are like, oh, can you go away?
Yeah.
But it's cool because it's like, hey, a year ago we were tattooing too. Like, it's cool.
And it was kind of a neat scenario because I spent the night over your Aunt Maria's house.
Yes, and then you drove us through the snowstorm in your little car.
Like,
and I was like,
we're both getting out of here, man. Like,
either we both make it to our tattoo appointment or we both don't.
I know. I was like, because I'm not, you know, like, I'm at a, you know, another person's house. I can't, like, over. I mean, she would totally let be over.
Can we just say, though, that this was because my piece of shit ex wouldn't drive us in his truck? Because he didn't want to watch me be tattooed for 8 hours?
Wow, what a dumbass. Like,
you would not have liked him.
I believe it.
He wasn't bad, but he just didn't go above and beyond like you do. Like, you're just, you know.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Awesome. It's lost on some people with you, which I...
Just, like, who wouldn't want to make sure their girlfriend got to their tattoo appointment safe and spend time with them if you have the truck?
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't get that. Like, me, I would always go... I always go above and beyond for my friends. Like, it's that nurturing part in me, but, like, just not everybody has that.
Right.
That's why, like, I surround myself by good people who are like that. Like, you guys are so friggin', like, welcoming, I can't even handle it. Like, like, here I'm in your home, like, chilling.
The roots of... We laugh about it. The roots of both weightlifting and tattooing was a circus. So we're like a fucking circus, man. Like, you got to get into the family.
I am part of the fucking circus.
You're part of the circus.
Yep.
You're just, you know, another carny.
Hell yeah. Yep. Although I don't have talents. So.
Yes, you do.
Well, people that were heavily tattooed were a part of the circus.
There
and then
go.
We just sit there and be like, 5 cent, bitch.
Yeah, bitch. Look at my leg, bitch.
That's right.
$5 to look at my leg.
That's right.
Basically, when I walk into Secrets in a bikini, everyone's like, whoa, circus freak.
Hey, I heard that place has like an area that water comes in.
Yeah.
And I heard that
it's on the beach.
Fuck that, because it's probably the most. I heard
that's where all the drunks fall.
Shit.
No. That's just where they fall. It's hysterical. They can't walk in the sand.
Yeah.
So everyone's tripping over themselves trying to come out.
But even in the wintertime, this has got water inside.
No, they blocked that part off.
I was about to say,
like, we went on New Year's Eve. It's, they mainly just group you to the bars.
I was like, you will die.
No. There's these things called peace police. They're all wearing their little shirts. And if people are trying to like fight and stuff, they come right up and they're like, bitch, get out.
Are they bouncers? Or?
Yeah, basically. But they call them peace police. It's hysterical.
Well, that's,
they're
that's
nice
better.
Bouncers.
Yeah.
I actually almost got thrown out by one because of Kyle. I was super drunk when he showed up, and we were fighting about something, but I was doing like the push on his chest thing, but like, he's my best friend. Right. And like, but I was pushing on his chest and peace police came up. I was like, hi, bye. I'm going to go away. Like I ran because I didn't want to get kicked out for pushing on Kyle. Like, which is something I would probably
I'm
do
like,
normally.
It's my friend, you dickhead.
Yeah. No, they were fine. They realized that it was just like, we were just hilarious. Drunkenly being stupid, but nah, they have them everywhere. Please. But it's really nice. That's why I like being there, because there's bathrooms everywhere, there's bars everywhere, and for the most part, no one's fighting anybody.
Yeah.
If they are, they're in the parking lot.
And this is, it's Ocean City, Maryland.
Ocean City, Maryland,
yep.
Which is probably weirdly still far from here, because you have to go up and down.
I feel like it's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
So it's
and
about
the weird
the same
thing is,
Jersey.
It's 1.5 hours from fucking Virginia Beach, because it's
what?
Like... Yeah, it's a really weird thing,
it's
on the outside, like the little island part of Maryland,
uh-huh.
And you just take a straight shot down, literally a straight shot
wow.
fucking down. It's a straight drive.
Yeah, it's 2 hours and 40, which is probably as far as it is for me, because you guys have to either take 301 and then go down.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, 301
from like Middletown, Delaware, where my parents live, it's so easy because you just
wow.
drive through Delaware.
Yeah.
But like, so for me, like I have to come up from... New Jersey first.
Wow.
But for my parents' house, oh my God. That's why my goal is to go back to Delaware, because
gosh.
You're near all the fun.
Delaware is awesome.
Beaches.
Yeah.
Delaware is really cool.
It is.
It
it's
is.
Good fishing.
Yep.
Like, it's seriously got some of the best fishing.
Plus,
and everybody's kind of old.
You're closer.
Or older. There's no, like, riffraff down
hour
there.
Hour 45 to Ocean City, Maryland from Middletown, Delaware.
Wow.
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
It's the best place.
See, as somebody
so
that
fun.
Grew up and was raised in Virginia Beach, I look at Ocean City and I'm just like, that's not a fucking beach.
See, I've never been to Virginia Beach.
It's a
I've
real beach. Like,
no,
Ocean City is just everything crammed together. And I'm just like, what the fuck is this? Virginia Beach, you have the main strip, which is only a few miles long, and then it's like fucking sand dunes and shit. Like, it's a real fucking beach.
True, and that's why we grew up going down to North Carolina, the Outer
yep.
Banks.
Oh,
we
yeah.
love the Outer Banks
yep.
because it's,
really
it's
cool.
not like Caribbean warm, but like it's still that
mm-hmm.
beach experience without being on top of
yep.
each other.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
that was always our like special vacation. Like, everyone else like traveled like to Hawaii with their families when they were kids. I'm like, I didn't do anything fun until I met Mark, and then we started traveling.
Oh, right.
Then I started doing like Caribbean and stuff like that. But for the most part, the furthest I had made it was North Carolina.
At least he brought that into your
true.
Perspective.
True, he did.
That's something that Rico is always saying about me, but I think it's just because, again, I love a circus life. He's like, ever since I met you, I've done so many things.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone so many places.
Yeah.
I never used to do anything before.
Yeah.
And I
nope.
was like, really?
Just
I want to do
woods.
More than this.
Oh, yeah, same.
I'm,
but,
I'm,
like, now that's something I'm looking
yeah.
for in a partner. I'm like, I want someone who
yeah.
wants to travel.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be a scuba diver or anything, although that's a bonus.
It is a bonus.
But just I want someone who has that urge to
mm-hmm.
do things, because like I want to continue doing things.
The only
yeah.
way I'd scuba dive is if we were going fishing, man, spear fishing. Y'all can be like, look, oh my God, look at the fish. I'm like, look at the fish.
I was telling him, like, and you know, a lot of this podcast is approaching fears, but one of my fears that I have, and I'm not gonna fix it because I think it's a good one to have, is I don't like being in enclosed places underwater.
Oh, it's so...
But that's a bad idea.
Amy, it's so fucking freaky, I can't even describe to you. That first breath you take underwater, you're horrified.
No,
and then you relax.
No, I've done scuba diving.
Right, but then, like, the one time I was doing a wall dive, so it's like a whole wall of coral, so you kind of get lost.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you're in a small area, and it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper
yeah.
and deeper. So one time I looked at my depth, and it was like 108 feet, and I almost like shit my pants, because for like half a second, I just like looked up and thought, oh my fucking God, if I run out of air, I'm not going to
yeah.
make it. I'm that deep. And then I immediately like surfaced myself just a little bit, because
yeah.
I felt a little
fatigued. Hey, you don't feel the pressure? It's not like
no.
an
you
immense
do.
Amount of pressure.
But like, you clear your ears as you go down.
Yeah.
That's the most important part.
Some people can't.
No, but like on your body, period.
Not,
it's like you go to the deep end of the swimming pool, you're like, dude.
It's not like that. And I don't know why. I think it's because you're more in an open space and you're breathing air.
Yeah.
You are breathing. So
yes.
I think it prevents that scary
yeah.
pressure. And like, you have to be really careful with your ears. Like, I've had some dives I've had to bail on because my ear wouldn't clear.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that.
What happens is it just pressure build up in your head?
Yeah.
Well, because you have little little bits of air in your sinuses. So as you go down, you have to clear that air
out. How do you do that?
You hold your nose.
Lots of tips and tricks. Yeah. Like you hold your nose and like pretend to blow. Maybe you jaw. You like you mouth. Like you just normal things. Like when you have to pop your ears.
Have you been in a plane?
Mm-hmm. Okay. When I went to Italy.
So when you're, that's right.
Nope,
so,
I sailed there.
I sailed.
So wouldn't be surprised.
And you hear that, like feel that pressure. If you chew gum, like, or if you yawn or things like that, you'll feel your ears.
Yeah, so I usually like chew my regulator, wiggle my ear, like blow my nose, like kind of thing.
The most aggressive is holding your nose.
And then you can't come up too quickly.
Yes.
Because you get the bends. Yeah, I know. Fuck that, man. I'd rather just snorkel.
Like a long time?
Oh, I mean, I haven't. It was when I was a kid.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
My dad, I never was licensed or cleared that way, but my dad was, and so was my mom, and they would go on, like, go to Hawaii and go to Florida and do diving trips all the time. And that was something because, well, one, I was born with an underdeveloped hip, so right away when my parents were talking to doctors, they were like, you got to get her in water to keep her strong and keep her joints.
Interesting.
You know, well-formed because, you know, she has this thing that, like, it would have created her walking with one leg longer than the other had we not allowed the joint to grow into place. Because I was in a full body cast as a kid for 9 months to get this hip where it should have been because I was lodged in my mom's pelvic bone and I was breech. So
I didn't know any of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that crazy? All the time we spend together and like that hasn't come up yet. It's so cool.
Well, yeah. And I tell Rico all the time, I think the reason why I picked a lot of my path in life and the reason why my personality is kind of the way it is because it's been a whole grace. Like everything has been a grace of modern society, medical technology, things. Because otherwise, my mom and I might have died. Like just died. And the fact that I was allowed to be, that I got medical treatment so that I wasn't, you know, lame for most of my life and have severe issues. But then, like, afterwards, you know, they had to, I mean, there was times when I was little and we were walking through amusement parks and my parents were like, she can't make it. Like, 'cause if I walked for any significant amount of time as a child, like I would just start having severe pain in my hip and my knees. So they had me in the water really, really young, and they loved being in the water, too. So my dad was really active scuba diving, and he also played a sport called underwater rugby.
That's so cool.
Right. So
how do you tackle him? You just drown him? Like,
oh, my God.
Well, it's pretty aggressive because you got to get the ball away from them. So they're wearing gear. They're wearing fins and snorkels. And there was guys who would get slashed by the fin, like get caught, you know, like next to a fin and just get slashed, or the biggest thing was ripping people's masks off.
Like, oh shit!
Yeah, like if that's a huge foul, huge no-no is if you grab somebody's gear. You were never allowed to grab people's gear. Like,
wait, underwater rugby, like in the pool for the Olympics?
Yeah, like dude,
yeah, with those fucking helmets.
Well, yeah, they would wear those little you know, keep your hair out of the way, and then they'd sink two nets on either end of the deep end of the pool. And you'd have to just dive down.
Oh, so it was snorkeling.
I've seen that shit on the Olympics.
My dad had amazing like breath control because of that. Because you know,
see, that's my thing. I may be a scuba diver, but I don't free dive, so I really can't hold my breath that long. I mean, I used to when I was a kid because I used to do all this like I would swim and stuff. But I swear.
You know, I seen on the Olympics, right, the fucking underwater rugby, this one player had a bottle of water, right? And you're in a pool, and he took the water and was just like, put it on his face. And I'm just like, what the fuck is happening here? I was like, bro.
Now, was this out of the water?
No, he was in the fucking pool.
You know, like, when that puts like, down, and then they celebrate. Like, he was just being stupid.
No, he was like, he was dead ass, like, oh, I'm sweating so hard.
That's awesome. But yeah, like I grew up with a lot of athleticism in my family, thank God. And like, I would probably just be a big rotund human if I didn't have all that influence. So yeah, like I when my dad was re-upping his certifications for, he would do it at Catonsville Community College. They would have courses to get certified. And you know, they did all of the checking of your gear and stuff in the pool. And so he like put me in it. Like it was not made for me, but like he walked me through everything just so I knew it. And then I did a few dives with him because his friends would let him. He knew all the people who would certify you. So we would go to where they do big certification dives, which was like, there's this place called Willow Springs and Willow Falls. And it was this whole area that they would do. And they had this lake where they had like a sunken boat and everything there that you would go in and you do your certifications. And that was cool. And I never went in the boat. Like that's where I learned that fear. I was young. Like there was no reason. Cause there's not like, I mean, there's snapping turtles in the,
nothing like
when you're in the,
I've caught river. Some the size of a fucking trash can lid.
Well, what I'm saying is that like, that's the kind of stuff that like you'd probably be able to stay away from. Like they're not things that swim at you. They swim away from you. And it's only if you like step on them or fuck with them that they really mess with you.
I wouldn't want to bet on that, man, because I've seen alligator snapping turtles like that are highly fucking aggressive and they probably will come after you if you even go near them.
Well, they're probably not the same as like an eel that will pop out and like they're
fucking eel.
I'm saying like the things that live in sunken things underwater in like salt water.
A
threat, I feel. And we don't even know how vast that, you know, shit goes. Like there's things they're discovering all the time. So like
snakes, man, are highly venomous.
Well, I know. And there's some lake snakes that are too, but
fucking cottonmouth.
When you're under there, I think the biggest thing was that it was just so murky. Like the minute you touch the bottom, man, it's just mud, you know, like you can't see, there's no visibility.
See, I haven't dove in that. I've dived in the Caribbean.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things.
Crystal clear
like,
and shit.
Yeah.
If I don't have visibility, I freak. So God forbid that I lose my eyesight. And then two, like claustrophobia is a weird thing for me. Like it took me a long time to get to the point where I could be face to face with somebody and breathe like next to them. Like if I feel people's breath.
Like if you roll over in the middle of sleep and you're too close, you're like, gonna roll back. Yeah. Like, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. My mom's highly claustrophobic. Yeah. Like
if I put covers over my head, I don't know if like I just was suffocated in a past life.
Oh God.
I don't know. Like there's this like, and I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's like innate fears that every human being has. And that's like,
probably because like as a human being, you want space, you know, because you're meant to move.
Yeah, but it bothers some people worse than others. Like the whole trypophobia thing.
Yeah.
Like, why does little spots freak me out, but not you?
Yeah.
And then like my biggest fear for no fucking reason is tornadoes in severe weather. Why does that spook me? Like what?
Because it'll fucking kill you.
No,
that's why.
Like,
I mean, that's a legit ass reason.
Like,
I've never lived in an area where it's a legitimate threat.
Well,
yes, we get.
Scared of tornadoes too, because guess what? Like Ron White said, it's not that the wind is blowing, it's what the wind is blowing.
I love how he went right into his delivery too, like how he
I just
does
can't. And I'm just like, ah,
Ron
Rico.
White. Like, I love how you prove your points.
No, but like, I legit can pick up, you know how like when a thunderstorm's rolling in, I can pick up on like the negative energy of the lightning, like before it's even happening.
Well,
like I get so spooked during storms. Like I hate them.
I think that you have like another sense about you.
I don't know.
Yeah, because that's the reason why.
I'm a fucking wizard.
Well, they said whenever the fucking, there's a storm or whatever, paranormal activity increases, like especially during a thunderstorm
and
lightning.
Ew.
Yeah,
that's probably what
it increases.
You just have a good VBs.
Hey,
I don't want
the
VBs
thing,
no more.
Like you ever heard
the VBs?
You ever heard the bullshit that like 3:30 is the witching hour?
Yes.
Yeah.
Complete fucking bullshit.
No, it's not.
No, it is.
It, no,
legit,
it, fucking
it was made by Hollywood. It's bullshit. There
no,
is no 3
to
witching 4 hour.
A.m.
Nope.
Is the highest paranormal time.
No. Nope.
Don't at me. That's when all my spooky shit happens.
I will.
I'm a night shifter in a fucking hospital. You think spooky shit doesn't happen at 3 a.m.?
Spooky shit happens all the time.
Yes, but it's worse during that hour. Like
maybe for
if
you.
I wake up in the middle of the night, you best believe it's between 3 or 4 a.m. and some spooky shit's happening.
In your
I
apartment?
Told you my ghost story already.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I told you next time you enter your house, actually you should just start doing this every fucking day.
I'm not walking into my house backwards.
Yes,
it's already gone.
That,
it's fine. I cleared it, I saged it, I holy watered the shit out of it. It's fine.
Yeah, but anything could follow you right. If
no,
it's not an evil spirit, it's
bullshit.
Gonna follow you back.
How do you
in?
Believe that, but not the 3 to 4 AM bullshit? How do you
because
believe
that was made by media.
Oh my god.
By the Hollywood. Because
it's
on what movie?
No
the
way.
Exorcist.
And that's why
made
I don't know how you do it.
He's just
He counters everything.
The thing of it is,
Kacha, on guard.
He should be a fucking lawyer.
The problem is,
oh man, I'll be gnarly.
It's non-factual shit. Like, so you can't get in debates with him about things that can't be proven. Like, if you do that, then he, because that's the thing. As soon as you give him a reason or an understanding of things that logically make sense that you can prove in reality is a justified thing, he's like, oh, cool, cool.
So, did you believe the vortex thing with the two mirrors?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually did. Okay, so it's like, because I've heard mirrors, like having too many, like I'm not really, like I don't like having too many.
No, it's two facing each other.
But no, but mirrors in general, there's something weird.
There is something
weird. Like I've always been told that as a child.
Yeah. You ever see the movie Oculus?
No.
Please watch it. It's fully about mirrors. Like it's about a haunted mirror.
Oh.
It's crazy. It made me be really suspicious around my mirror for a while.
The new season of Dracula on Netflix, that's what they explore.
Yeah, they even do that too.
I don't know why. It's just like sometimes you walk by a certain mirror and you just feel weird. Like even sitting here right now looking at that mirror, I'm like.
Well, in Native Americans,
it's all dirty and shit.
I know, but you always feel like you could. If you feel like you would almost see like something in the reflection, like just walk by and you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, you.
Aunt Maria has some ghost stories. She stayed at a haunted mansion once. Because like she bumped around a lot like moving wise, but it was in Maryland. It wasn't far from where she is now, but like it was someone she knew who owned this giant mansion, like that was owned by some prince. And we went through it one time, and I'm telling you, it was the spookiest place I've ever been. We were there during the day. But it was funny because there was a book in there that I borrowed because I needed it for summer reading. Right. And it had like a stamp and everything, like an imprint of this prince. And somehow the front of the cover got ripped off and spooky things were happening. So we fucking Ouija boarded, because mind you, we're in high school and we're stupid. Right. We Ouija boarded near that book. Some spooky shit happened, and Aunt Maria scolded the shit out of me.
Yeah, you don't play with
for Ouija boarding.
Yeah,
but anyway, so the one story that I remember distinctly from this mansion, she was in one of the bedrooms and it had two doors coming into the bedroom. Right. So she had locked both doors, and she had a greyhound at the time. His name was Fling. And so she remembers waking up in the middle of the night, both the doors being wide open, all the covers being off of her, and her dog staring at the doors. And she was like, Fling, come on, like, Fling, come on, like, trying to just, like, bring. And her best thought, because, you know, when you're frozen by fear, is like, I'm just going to roll over and go back to sleep and pretend this isn't happening.
Yes.
So she had done that. And in the morning when she woke up, the doors were shut again.
Whoa.
No.
Yeah. So it's
was
like,
the dog in the room with her?
Yeah. So it's like, was she really awake and she just, you know, like, did she just have a dream that they were open and they were never open? Or did that actually fucking happen?
Wow.
And then she would be in the kitchen and she would hear furniture dragging across in the, like,
dude.
But this place had a fireplace, like, from the fucking Shining. It was spooky.
Oh, man. That's pretty fucking crazy.
But Aunt Maria's always been open to, like, ghosty stuff, too.
Like, I do. I think that that's, like, a sense that you're kind of like that if you are to talk about like things that are passed down from lineages, like
I put that book back.
I
taped it and I put that fucker back. I couldn't even tell. It might have been like Catcher in the Rye or some shit. But
like, you ever like been somewhere
or
like
a
home, and like, you know, you ever feel that tug on the back of your shirt?
Ew, stop.
Like, you felt that? My buddy Tom, he's an old English guy. He's like probably in his mid 60s. And his grandmother was like really sensitive to that shit, and he tells me a bunch of crazy ass stories. But I asked him, and I was like, "Dude, I was like, my dad's house. My stepmother used to say that there was something in there, like not bad. Well, anything that's not, you know, I can touch is bad to me. But like I'd sit there sometimes, and like I'd get up, and then you know go to walk somewhere in the house, and I'd feel like a tug, like
oh my God,
on the back of my shirt, and I'd be like." And I'm like, oh, maybe my shirt was caught in my pants, but it would happen frequently. And I told Tom, and he's like, oh, it's just a mischievous ghost.
Yeah.
You know? And he was like, hey, they're just playing with you. I was like, is that bad? He's like, no. And then the thing that I used to tell him that would fuck with me is sometimes I would hear something whisper my name. And that shit used to make the hair on the back of my neck stand up, because in my mind, I'm always going to go to science. So I would be like, you know, I'm high. Or maybe, like, you know, it's so silent that my brain is fucking with me.
Your name, really?
Yeah.
No.
Because I would out of nowhere just hear, Rico. Yeah, no. And I'd be like, oh, shit. And I'm just like, oh, I'm just high.
Mm-mm.
Tom was like, no, it's just mischievous ghosts just fucking with you. And I'm just like, that's just not cool.
They have to just be around. Like, otherwise, why would you get the feelings? Like, I've already told them this, but I went through a little antique house the other day just looking for, like, candles and stuff. And we're walking in and out of these rooms. And one room I walked in and I just blatantly felt like there was someone in there or something was haunted. Like, maybe there was a plate in there that was haunted, but I was like, I'm gonna walk out of this room.
Yep.
And it was only one room of the entire house.
Yep.
Like, why do you get that feeling? You can't justify that. It's just like, why did I feel that way for no fucking reason?
The thing that you're sketched out about in the one room of mine is the shoe.
What shoe?
Yeah, her cousin stated that. Like, that one little thing that
I have to walk back up in there because I haven't been in there.
But didn't you take it down?
No.
I need to walk in there.
No, we hung it back up.
Oh.
Yeah, like, he was like, you know, I got that shoe from a roommate that used to live here, and he, you cannot sit.
You can't sit still.
I just realized.
Honey, like, and
like, I'm chilling with my coffee.
I preface the whole thing, like, this thing picks up everything that you do. So you're, like, moving, you're tapping the table.
I do love that you gave, like, literally was like, hey, please don't touch the table. And right, Riku's been, like,
he's just
banging on the table the whole time. Like, he can't.
I'm not controlling it.
He can't sit still.
He can't do it. It's hilarious.
He's either too chill or not enough.
If you hear a lot of rumbling, that's him.
That's all Riku.
But yeah, like, my cousin Eric has stayed in really highly paranormal places, and he looked at that room. He's like, I don't feel what she felt in this room, but he's like, if anything's the culprit, it's probably that frame shoe on the wall.
See, that's what I'm saying. I get, like, like, if it was, like, on a scale 1 to 10 of how, like, medium are you, I'm probably, like, a 2. Because, like, I just get weird spooky feelings that, like, someone's there or something. But then there's some people who can be like, oh, it's that object.
Well, there's, I mean, you know, not to get woo-woo-y about it, but they say that it's like anything. Like, you're given, like, a natural talent for singing, for example. Like, you're made to be better at that. Your ear's better. Your vocal acuities are better. And then when you're trained to use them, your strength grows. So, like, if you're a 2 now and you were around, like, a more heightened psychic or something
like
that.
I don't want to be. No, thank you.
I'm just saying that, like, they can teach you how to really hone those skills and really,
you know, I figured it out, though. Someone recently, I was talking about how, like, other people, like, bring me down or bring me up. Like, I'm really, I feel off of other people. They're like, oh, you're an empath. I'm like, wow, I've never been told that before.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm just feeling the emotions of whatever used to be there. Like, in that antique room, maybe I'm just picking up on something.
Or maybe something.
Like, it's just like, I'm mild, like, you know, like, I'm an empath. I'm not a freaking medium. I just can pick up on the fact that there's a presence.
Well, I think it's semantics. I think that that's a term that people use to, like, to kind of cue into a more emotionally intelligent person. But it goes beyond just emotions. Empaths pick up on people who are actually there, and they pick up on other things. I think that empathy is, like, things that are tangible. You know, like, you're an empath if, like, I can tell that, you know, your tattoo is really hurting you, and I can feel that. And I can feel in a heightened sense of paying attention.
Yeah.
But, like, people like Andrea and you, it's probably a lot more raw. Like, it's just, like...
Well, she's Pisces too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I do think it is a thing that they say a lot about Pisces too, is that they have a connection with... They have a natural sense, at least this is what I've read, of order of things. Like, they know what is just and what is right and what is wrong, and they get really, really disillusioned by the world around them when they see a lack of justice and a lack of you know, correctness in the world, and it drives a lot of them into being addicts and things like that because of how disillusioned they can become with how reality actually works and how they see things working, and it's just wrong. And then they get really bitter because then they see such a lack of justice that they start, like, really, like, kind of becoming obsessed.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Even something as simple as being addicted to tattooing. Like, you know, I couldn't just get one. I was like, this is great. I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, I definitely have, or, like, even, like, something simple as, like, being addicted to, like, a show you're binging on Netflix. Like, I will literally sit there until I finish it. Like, but
Game of Thrones. Not on Netflix.
That's what we ended up doing last night, because I was I can't even. Like, I was trying to get this audio to Chuck in a better time frame so that he didn't have to belabor over it and then get it back to me late, but I couldn't force it. And that's something that I'm trying to be better about, is, like, giving myself the time and not over obsessing about things that people in the long run are not going to say, you heathen bitch. Like, how dare you? Like, I'm trying to be kinder. So that's something that 2020 is kind of going. And Rico's convinced me that I need to start ignoring people more, which we talked about last night.
Oh, same.
Don't even give them a reply. Like, this is why I keep trying to tell her, like, when you're trying to like eliminate, because like, not everybody's your friend. Friends are like people that you interact with, you know, don't have to be on a day-to-day basis or weekly, but you see frequently, like us sitting at this fucking table. You know, just because you know of somebody, like, and they're like, oh, I'm trying to chat. And so you don't have to fucking respond to that shit. True. I don't have time. Time is valuable. Time is precious. I'm not going to fucking waste my time on a conversation with somebody, like, if I'm really just not in the mood to answer. The fuck's the point of even answering? I'm going to ignore you. I don't fucking see you on a day-to-day basis.
But even in another aspect, I know this isn't the Why I'm Single podcast, but even trying to get a guy to stop talking to you, if you literally answer them and tell them I'm not interested, they will keep answering you. Yes. If you ignore them, it's usually more effective. Although I have this one guy where I have like, I haven't deleted the conversation. So I have 4 days in a row of where he just texts me, hey, with 2 Y's. I'm like, why do you think that's going to work?
Why?
But I'm ignoring it and he's still doing it. And I'm like, oh my god! Like, I don't get it. Like,
oh, you can block his number.
No, I know, but it's fun. It's honestly fun when when someone reaches out and is like, "Hey, like, you know I fucked up, but like, I want you back." And it's so fucking fun to ignore them and be like, "You missed your opportunity."
Right.
That's why they're not blocked, because I love when they come back, because I'm just like, I look at it, but I do nothing with it. Yeah. It's hysterical.
Well,
they're the ones who ghost me until you come crawling back like, hey, I resurrected. No, you didn't, bitch.
Well, I mean, we can communicate you on the Why I'm Single podcast.
Oh, God, no.
Endless.
Absolutely
no,
not.
No, you have such great endless stories. Wreck. No, but see,
that's what we need.
Everybody was giving me, before I met Rico, everybody was giving me the same advice that he's giving me. And I do think that now that I've met him, it's important for me to have. But before I met him, it wasn't, because I was on Why I'm Single.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about me is that I treat people the way I ultimately would like to be treated. So like, for me, your actions have no real reflection on me, but my actions do. So when I was part of Why I'm Single and part of that whole thing, and even within my work life, this is a hem-hawed up problem of mine, because if I get a tattoo request, which is basically the same as being texted as from a guy, like, I'm interested and I'm proposing a thought. It's the same. So, but if I see that within that proposal that you did no homework, you are not requesting it in a fashion that suggests that you're at all serious. You've given me a budget that I'm like laughing at, because like, dude, this is, I can't do anything with this. And then the way that you're addressing me, the way that you're framing your sentences, the fact that I have an online form, I have a whole contact sheet of things that list things that I'm interested in, things that I'm not, you know, how to go about all these things. And it's clear that you paid attention to none of that. It's the same as a guy like hitting you up and going, hey, with 2 Y's. And you're like, you did nothing.
Yeah.
So
And if I respond to that, then I'm stooping to his level.
Right. So, like, but
come back with, you know what? If he came back with a well-thought text message, maybe he would have gotten an answer.
Right.
Maybe.
Right. But see, I've had to, because of the level of which I have to work with people and things like that. And the level and volume to which I get approached, it's the same as like being a woman on a dating site. Like, within 2 minutes of posting your picture, you've got like 50 inboxes full of hey's. And I'm like, okay, so how do I wade through this shit? Yeah. And it's the same thing with my tattoo requests, is like, I can't entertain every hey. I can't entertain every single thing. So I have to be very, very decisive. But here's the problem. And this is the reason why I started Why I'm Single, and why I also carry this into a podcast about tattooing, is because the two are very congruent. If you think about this, is that when I was called out by our studio, when they were like, oh, you've gotten to the point where you just ignore certain requests, we think that's not nice. And I was like, yeah, it might not be nice, and it might not be something that for business is ideal, you know, to tell this person I'm not interested or even entertain it, but to ignore it's so much better, because to me, I think they move on. I don't have to waste a lot of time, because this is what happens to me, is that I now go into an education mode. Yeah. Like, if I see, because in my mind, I start thinking, has this guy never, or this person, you know, if it's a dating realm, it's a guy, because mm-hmm. that's what I'm into. But, like, has this person never been told that this is not acceptable?
Probably.
Maybe. But then that's a huge maybe. That's a huge, like, whatever. And if they are continuing down a line of what I consider to be, if they're going to come at me, the caliber to which I feel I am as a person, as a tattoo artist, as everything, mm-hmm. I almost feel like if this is the level of person, tattoo work, whatever that you're wanting, you need to know what will get you there. Like, you obviously don't know why there's a disconnect between what you're hunting for and mm-hmm. what you're getting.
Sure.
And you are unaware of that. And a lot of guys in the dating realm get really bitter. That's how you get an incel, is that they keep trying with faulty, like, tactics. And they're, like, so dispassionate about the fact that they keep trying.
All you want is something genuine, by the
way. Right,
exactly. That's all you want, is someone to be honest and genuine.
Exactly.
Like, I can still remember how nervous I was to email you the first time when I have never been your client. Aunt Marie was like, hey, I've been tattooed by her. Look at her artwork. I'm like, oh, my God, she's everything I want. But I remember, like, she was like, okay, get on her email list.
Yeah.
The second that her books open, tell her what you're interested in. And I remember the second I got that email, I jumped out with this well thought out, like, hey, I love your watercolor. Hey, I really want a Pisces tattoo with koi fish. Like, everything, like, because I see that you're like, oh, I like animals. I like this. I like that. I'm like, those are all the things I like.
And
I remember, and she's like, you know, like, I have been tattooed by her, but there's no guarantees. And, you know, and I mentioned her briefly, you know, you do the little name drop, like, hey, you've tattooed my Aunt Maria before.
Yeah.
And then you get in. But, like, that's how I remember. So many people have asked me, where do you get tattooed? Who do you get tattooed by?
Right.
Can you get me in? And I'm like, yeah, I can if you're my best fucking friend.
Yeah.
Because, you know, here I got Kyle to Amber, and I did bring Mark to you.
Yes.
But, like, for the most part, like, you are kind of a celebrity tattoo artist. Like, you think Kat Von D answers all her fucking emails?
No.
You know, the famous New Yorkers and Californians.
I know podcasters that don't answer all emails, I'm sure. Like, you can't.
But you're not.
Traffic.
But you can't, like, knock yourself for not answering, because, like, you've read it, you're, like, not interested, you move on to your next, because I'm sure you have
hundreds. You don't have to dignify anything with the response. It's actually better to just ignore.
Yeah.
Well, and that's
it's like a job application.
Well,
you don't always get told a no.
Yep.
You're like, okay, I guess they're not interested. I'm going to keep applying.
Yes.
That's all it is.
Well, and now that I have a person, a partner, you know, within the whole dating realm, if we're to compare the two, it's the same. It's like, when you professionally have risen to a certain level where now you know your priorities, you know, the perspective has changed where, like, you don't have to entertain everything. Like, so when I was dating, I entertained a lot more, and I felt it a station of mine, because I wasn't meeting everybody to date, but I was, while I was texting them, regularly checking how they were talking to me and how they were saying things, because I was like, this might be a person. And everybody in the studio was like, you're giving these people too much of your time. And I was like, yes, but I have a podcast about relationships that I feel very, very, you know, I'm in the thick of, and I feel like I'm an older person. I've dated a lot of people. I know the pitfalls of all my other relationships. I've analyzed communication. I've even paired it with doing consultations with my clients and trying to, like, fish out red flags before they become a problem and calling them out right then and there. And I was like, the thing of it is like you said, I'm looking for genuineness. I'm looking for quality, and I'm looking for somebody who has equally been through the muck as much as me, to where we know how, you know, how to see these things coming and hit them off before they become problematic. And so now that I have Rico, of course, I now have a whole new perspective for my life and what it can entertain and what it can't.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, my New Year's resolution is I'm going to ignore more people, because now I have a person that I want to blend my life with.
But and we were talking about that too, the whole, like, blending a couple with a friend group. It should be easy.
Yeah.
It's like hanging out with you guys. I don't feel like I'm the third wheel. I just feel like I'm hanging out with two of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how a lot of the couples that I hang out with are, because I surround myself by good couples.
Yeah.
You just want to you want to be able to bring your man into the normal things you do.
Yeah.
You know, like hanging out and stuff. Like, hey, like, I'm going to tattoo Nicole on my day off, but, like, come hang out with us.
Yeah.
And that's how easy, like, it should be. But, like, no one is like that. And that's my problem right now. Everyone's like, why are you single? You're so hot and pretty and young. And I'm like, okay, but no one else is out there that is similar to me.
Yes.
In my goals.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And you got to find that pairing. And when it comes to tattooing, I don't think people understand when I reject you, it's not a rejection that's saying anything about you as a person, anything.
I'm being rejected by Ickes. By Ickes the cat. He won't love me.
My cat's like, I don't know, man.
Speaking of rejection.
I'm going to love on everything but you.
I'm going to choose this box of mail over your bitch ass.
It's going to fall over and create
a lot of
noise.
No, Ickes
loves
me.
Dang. Oh. Disrespected.
Rico just does his little pss, pss with his fingers and Ickes appears and I'm like, Ickes, Ickes, please come here and love me.
You should have seen him earlier. He was jumping in my lap trying to like help me with my sound check. That's how I got him on audio earlier.
He's the cutest.
Purring. He's adorable.
This is why I haven't gotten a cat, because what if it doesn't fucking love me?
No, I will, because you're getting it when it's a kitten. Cats are very wary of people.
Well, no, I know.
Again, the advice I always give people with cats is the same advice that we're talking about. Ignore them. You ignore them.
No, or...
They will be needy.
Play hard to get.
Or you force your love on them. Like, Ickes, like, when I first came in, I'd pick him up, right? And I'd hold him upside down, like, on his back. And he'd, like... And I'd, like, squeeze. And then the more they squirm, the more they squirm, the harder I squeeze. And I'm just like, you will love me.
The people that don't know what Rico looks like and can't see this right now, it's so funny because he's got these big fucking arms.
I gotta tell him to not do that with Massey because she's an old cat. I was like, hon, her bones are more brittle. You cannot.
I'm sure that happens to you sometimes. He picks you up and you're just like, hon, can you not fucking break
me? I'm telling you, he always wants to crack my back. I was like, no.
Oh my God, please crack mine.
I know. Totally.
Can we ASMR that shit on here? Lean, you hold the mic.
I'm telling you, it's picking up everything we're doing right now. Every shift.
Are you kidding?
When he moves the table, it like makes a sound. That's why I'm like, Rico, my God.
Yeah, but like,
I haven't moved the table.
But I listen to us talk and then.
Continually.
No. When he's been quiet for a bit and then he jumps in, I'm like, oh my God, the headphone user is his voice.
Booming.
It's so great. It's great.
We should put him over there. Like, okay, talk him over there.
He is a little further away from the mic. I'm still low tone, but you guys are more important because this is funny.
I told you I'd bring you stuff.
I know. It was great. And it's been the energy has been correct. Like, I was just so, like, belabored before. I just felt like it was going to be drawn out of me. And I do have things to announce, which we can do at the end, but I like this conversation because, you know, starting the new year with a client and a friend and everything, and we're all like having coffee in the morning together. It's so
it's
nice.
Beautiful.
And just kind of to staple it, like, I am gonna ignore a lot more people in lieu of people like you, Rico, and people like you, Nicole, because if I am to entertain all of that, it takes away from the time that I get to spend with you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had clients tell me, like, oh, I'm not going to tell people where you're at until I'm done. Because
I have literally said that before. I'm like, well, here's Tattooed Heart Studios, but I'm not telling you who tattoos
me. Yes.
Yeah. Because
although
like
I always
one
tag
of
you.
Six.
Like, and that's the other thing. If you really were.
Seven, actually.
It would take you 2 seconds to look on my Instagram and see who I get tattooed by, because I tag you every fucking time.
Mm-hmm. And that's my frustration, is that, like,
the
effort that I know a lot of the people spend in order to correctly sculpt what they want, it's not about me, it's about what they want, and that they're putting so much into it. Those are the kind of people that I want to work with, because they're people who care.
Yeah.
They care about themselves, they care about what kind of tattoo they're going to get, they care about the process, they're willing to go through
and
whatever
commitment.
It takes. Yeah.
You need commitment, because you have someone who walks. I have now realized how many sessions it takes for a leg sleeve. Like, mm-hmm. And if I don't book you once a month, like, it would be like a 3-year process.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you just got done telling us how, like, a year ago we finished your arm. I mean, that's how long we've been working on your leg.
Kind of. I mean, because we did I couldn't even tell you when we did the sea turtle.
Yeah.
And the Pisces was my very first one. So if you think about it, technically we started the sleeve from the first time you started tattooing me.
It's true.
It's just
true.
We didn't know at the time it was a sleeve.
Right. And now we've made it into this really cool. I can't wait to post it.
Oh my God. I refuse to post the full thing until it's done.
I've thrown tidbits
out and you posted my booty, which is fine because it was just like
it's an epic
perfection.
Piece. It's an epic
piece. But when it's it's done, oh my God, I told you, full photo shoot. It's got to be like amazing, and I'm going to post the shit out of it.
I know.
But it's funny because I've only really shown my friends full bits. Like, I've only posted tidbits.
Yeah.
And people always ask me, I'm like, no, not when it's cool. Not done yet.
You cannot see.
We could do a really cool pinup post.
Oh my God.
You're all pinup-y, and then I'm like a tattoo artist that's like halfway, like, you know, that way. Up. That would be fun.
Yeah, because you would know how to do those pinup curls and everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hairstylist.
This is happening.
Yep.
Yeah. We're gonna.
That's why we need to finish next time. We gotta get it out. We
got it. Yes. My sleeve.
Ooh. If we finish by April and then we do a photo shoot,
that'd be cool. That's a good time.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know some people, so we can get some. You do know some people. I have a couple photographers that we have trade agreements, so that Omia shoots, so we could do that.
That's awesome.
That'd be cool.
Because you know, like, that's the thing about pictures. Like, I want to take them when the tattoos are fresh. Like, when I'm 70 and they're all blurred and everything, I'm gonna be like, but remember me as a pinup.
That's right.
Remember.
Just remember me as a person, young. That's why I like really want to get people over their shame, like, as much as possible. And that's the thing, is like, even since, like, now you know my origin, like, that I was born with an underdeveloped hip. Like, I had to from the beginning of my life really consciously realize what I'm capable of and not, and like push through a lot of fears on a regular basis that were about my capacity. But not a lot of people had to. And so I think that a lot of the reasons why I've kind of sculpted this safe space kind of atmosphere when people come to me is because I've had to really get over a lot of my own shame and bullshit. And I think anybody who, like, deals with pain on the regular or any kind of, you know, malformity or whatever, you just become shameless because you're like, fuck it, dude, I have to get over this so fast. Like, it's not relevant if I actually want to be happy. So you either choose to wallow or you choose to, like, pick yourself up by your bootstraps and go.
Yeah. I see a lot of that in the medical field, too.
Yeah.
People who feel sorry for themselves versus people who, this is what I have, but I'm going to deal with it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Exactly. And I think that it's, even if they are on their path out of this world, like, just the transition is so much better for everybody when they kind of lean into it and not accept death, but just kind of have some grace about it and know that, you know, it's not going to be the end of the world to let somebody help you.
Yeah.
You know, like, my aunt was so prideful to the point where my mom had to be like, you know, she was dying of COPD related issues and she would leave the house out of vanity without her oxygen. And then, like, she couldn't keep up. And my mom was like, what the fuck are you doing out here without your oxygen?
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that.
It's horrible.
And it was mostly because she just really, I mean, part of it is she didn't want to admit that, you know, this was happening. And two, she was just like, I don't want to be walking around with, like, oxygen on my face all the time, but she needed it.
Life-saving device, don't need it, you know.
Well, and that's, you know.
But you know what's even worse? Uh-huh. Like, okay, so she didn't have the pride to wear. There are some patients I have that have end-stage COPD that are on oxygen that will take their oxygen off, go outside, smoke a cigarette, go back inside and put the oxygen on. Whoa. And those are the patients that annoy me, because I had a guy who, you know, I was like, you know, you do your history. Oh, do you smoke? No. Did you smoke in the past? And then you get that history and it's like, oh, when did you quit? The second I got diagnosed with COPD. That's wonderful.
Yes.
You know, but not everybody does that.
Yes.
And that blows my mind that you get this diagnosis that basically is, hey, by the end of the time that you're ready to die, you won't be able to breathe no more. And those people who are on oxygen still decide to smoke that cigarette.
And unlike me, you don't have the convenience.
They probably hope to blow themselves up.
No, they usually take it off, wander outside, smoke their cigarette, come back in and put it on.
Well, and that's the thing is that, like, you don't, as a nurse, you don't have the license to ignore those people, which I, like, the last time I talked to you, well, it wasn't the last time that you shared one of your stories. It was about the guy who didn't shit for forever.
Oh my God.
How long was that?
Oh God. He waited, like, I don't remember.
And I was just like, you have to save.
He died. Shitting?
I know.
And, no, because he waited like
almost
3 days. You should start be thinking, like, okay, I need to, like, change my diet. So I start going. 7 days. you need to be taking something. 10 days, you need to be in the hospital. Like, that is too long to not, like, it's weird as a nurse, you get obsessed with poop and pee, because if you're not peeing, there's something wrong. If you're not shitting, there's something wrong. And so it's nuts to ask these patients, when's the last time you pooped? And, you know, like, it's, I'm in my 12-hour shift, and I'm like, oh my God, my patient hasn't peed yet. Like, I have never been so obsessed with those things until I've seen what happens when you don't pee and they have to emergently put a tube directly into your bladder. What happens when you can't poop and they have to emergently rush you to the OR? I see those bad things. So this guy, he's sitting at home, not going to the bathroom, not worried about it. Not to be horrible, but we've had a patient who, she waited so long that it started coming up. Out her mouth.
Shit, like, actual poop?
I'm not kidding. It will it will travel upwards if it's that bad. And that's horrifying that we've had patients.
I never even thought
I know it's gross, and I'm sorry, listeners, but like, we have had, like, listen, if you're not pooping, go to the doctor.
Well,
like, seriously, like, do something about it. Like, it's not okay. Right. Well, it's not normal. And you will get obstructions that require surgery. Like, sometimes you get an obstruction that you can fix.
Yes.
But other times you end up in the hospital. And I remember this guy, I mean, and you can get infections because of everything not moving. I believe he ended up septic and passing away.
Well, and see,
but
and
he was really sick.
And I remember this being a thing. This is where I get pretty fascist and awful, because I'm like, I'm kind of happy that man passed away, because to me it's like, that's the you know, natural selection thing. It's like, if you don't know that you need to shit, you need to go. Like,
I would have been drinking the fuck out of some coffee.
And then bless your heart that you're like trying to get, and I remember you were devastated because he died and you were really upset. And I was like, dude, like, you came to me like literally the next day. And I was like, see, this is where this shit drives me mad, because you don't have the license to tell this person at this point, which is good, you know, that their life is negotiable at this point, because he didn't know that he should have to shit. But in my
mind,
I'm sure
there was a bigger story. I can't remember.
Oh, I'm sure
like,
there was.
I like, see so many people that, like,
I feel like there was an opioid addiction.
I don't know.
I would think, because I know they back you up and they would make you pass out for.
No, I truly believe he just hated hospitals. Like, I think he didn't want to get, like, his wife was like, honey, you need to go. And like, he just was so, like, a lot of people have that fear. It might not have been anything drug related. Like, he might have just been that afraid of getting looked at, or like, maybe he was worried, like, oh shit, this is serious.
Again,
and some people run from that.
Get over your shame. Like, I know, that's the thing, is like, you know, you have so much fear and so much anxiety, and that's kind of like
it's irrational and you can't control it.
Maybe it's not a fear. Maybe it's like, some animals, before they die, they'll just run away because they want to be left in peace. Maybe that's like what
there's
human
a lot
beings.
Of people that just want to die in peace.
Well, actually, they
don't want to die in a hospital.
Well, and the thing of it is like, I think they romanticize dying, first of all. Like, short of falling asleep and not waking up, there is no peaceful death, at least that
it's true.
Can see. There's no romance to it. There's no grace. It is nasty. It's
coming
not
from
good.
Someone who has watched people take their last fucking breath. It's not fun.
It's not fun. And I think people, you know, envision that it's going to be, you know, there's going to be a good way. But the thing that people don't realize is that, you know, your body starts doing a lot of these things that medical research and technology can help with. Like, I had to tell my cousins that the way that their mother passed was actually really great, because they had that patch behind her ear that kept her from dying on her own vomit.
Yes.
And that's what can happen, is that you literally have to scrape the shit out of a person. Like, literally, like, you have to do that if you don't have those kind of defenses that a hospital knows to have.
Well, can I even say, just like being in the ICU, so when a patient is older and they're really sick and we can see that they're declining, and we start as the nurses, because, you know, the nurses advocate for the patient, we start telling the doctors, hey, like, I think you need to start talking to the family members. The second the doctors open up that conversation with the family members and we tell them, hey, they're dying, but we can make them more comfortable.
Yes.
And we take, you know, we stop giving them medications to keep their blood pressures up, and we stop putting masks on their face, and we just give them morphine and let them go peacefully and not in pain. We want to do that so much earlier on than the doctors do, because we can see, hey, they're on these medications to keep their blood pressure up. That's the end. You know, like, you, some people, like, say you get into a car accident as our age, and, you know, you're blood pressure is temporarily low and you use these medications to get them up and then you recover because you're young. Yes, it's not a permanent thing. But when they're older like that and you can't, if you turn that medication off and their blood pressure immediately drops, you know, there's no fixing this.
Yeah.
There's no fixing this. So, but it takes getting that family comfortable with it. But like, I'm telling you, the second we give them morphine or Ativan to like calm their anxieties, they just look so much more comfortable.
Yes.
Like, yes, it's still awful and it's still horrible and you're still dying in an ICU, but at least you're comfortable.
Yes.
And you have nurses there that care about you and you have your family members that care about you.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. It's not fun watching someone go through that. That's for sure. I mean, we've come full circle. We've come back to this conversation.
Well,
but,
no, it's good though, because I think that, you know, there's lots of things that people can walk into their 2020 with perspective now. Like you're a nurse, like, and you're a newer nurse. So a lot of your perspectives comes from both your education and then what you're now experiencing as reality. And then like, you know, talking, I think it's all kind of congruent. And that's the reason why we work really well too, is that, you know, I'm about, you know, providing comfort to my clients and like walking them through these milestones and all of that stuff is very, very potent in our studio. Like we care about how they're treated, how they're comfortable. Do they have enough access? All those things. And then, you know, like advising people about their bodies, like, I mean,
Oh my God. Yeah. I told you, my friends come to me. They're like, hey, where do you think I should put this? And I've learned stuff from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in general, I literally tell people that like I'm going to therapy, like when I'm getting tattooed, I'm like, oh man, I've been really bad mentally. I can't wait to get tattooed because therapy has not worked for me, but there's something about being in the tattoo chair and talking to you guys. Like this is literally what our conversations sound like. And you just like things pop up as the conversation just slowly changes and you talk about things that are bothering you and that little bit of pain. It's like, you're releasing the pain, but you're also releasing that mental pain. Like I shared an article because I follow To Write Love on Her Arms, which is anti-self-harm and everything and depression, all that stuff. And I shared an article that was relating, like the girl had talked about how like tattooing helped her self-harm because like I'm not doing it anymore.
Right.
You know, like I'm allowing you to inflict pain on me, but like it's not self-harm anymore. Like, because it's different because like you're not causing it. And like it truly is like my therapy. Like some days I'm like, oh, I'm so fucking anxious. I could really pierce something right now. Like, and it's stupid and it's not great. It's not super healthy, but like it's what makes me feel better. Like getting my hair done and talking to my hair dresser and then sitting there and letting you tattoo me and me talking to you. Those are my therapies.
Yeah.
Or just friend sessions. Like I just prefer that over physically doing it, but I know it helps a lot of people, but.
Well, and it's a way to authenticate too. Whereas I feel like when you self-harm, it's about feeling a part of a reality that doesn't welcome who you are. So you almost turn inward and like, you know, like the pain that you're feeling when you inflict that pain makes you feel better because it gives some reason why you're feeling so emotionally in pain, you know? And that makes you feel better because you're like, oh, finally, like I'm feeling something that makes sense because there's this pain that's actually being physically inflicted to rationalize all the noise that doesn't make any sense. Whereas when you do it with a tattoo, it's like, you're producing an image of yourself that you are seizing and embracing and that you're doing something that's about authenticating and like how you want the world to see you. And you're stepping into another phase of life where you're like not shamed anymore about who you are. You then are ready to express
Plus you get that is. Artwork at the end rather than like scars and stuff. Like I'm sure you've seen so many scars that you have covered up.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I know for me, like it was definitely healing for me, like to cover up things that you didn't want to look at anymore. Like it's just it's a amazing process.
Those are the scars that I'm the most apt to cover because I know what they are to the person.
It's a reminder.
Yeah.
It really is.
But see the ones that I'm less and not that I'm less wanting to is the ones that are like women have because of their
C-sections
and things that are about not, I don't want to say vanity, but like that, you know, they weren't what they were anymore and they're trying to be what they were again. And that's when I'm like, I'm fine with like doing a tattoo for you that makes you feel pretty again.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that scar you should hold as a badge of honor.
Yeah,
I feel
like you went through something to create a life.
And we're not, our
you
society,
out a person.
Our society isn't about showcasing those things on a regular basis, which is the reason why you feel bad about it. But if you realize how many women have the exact same scar yeah. and not worse, and that, you know, they haven't lost their relationships because yeah. of it, you know, like all of that stuff. Like that's beautiful. And
hey, I've seen this fucking thing that said that was talking shit about chicks with stretch marks, and this dude replied, "If that shit ain't got lines on it, that meat ain't ready."
Oh, I like that.
I was like, touche, yes. sir.
Plus, the marbled meat is the better cut. Yeah,
no.
Yeah. You know, people have been, men have been a lot nicer about women. Yes. Like, the thick thighs are yes. in, and I'm like, yes.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Boobs aren't a big thing anymore. I'm like, thank God people don't want big boobs anymore. Like, hi, little titties, here I am. Big, right. big thighs. Like, I just love that it's been so much more body positive. Like,
yeah.
it's been really great.
Yep. Well, and that's the thing, that tattoos can really turn up the notch up yes. too, because if you know how to design them well, you can make a butt look a little bit more voluptuous. So you can bring attention yeah. to an upper chest.
Throw a dolphin on it, make yeah. it look good.
Uh-huh. Yep. And then you get a lot of banter
yeah.
about dolphins.
Oh my God.
The guy slapped a dolphin.
Slap the dolphin. Maximus.
So it's going to be like this.
I can make Maximus dance,
God,
I'm just saying.
Guys saw what Rico just did.
Literally, no, but I can make him dance.
You can make him dance.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but the whole scar thing, definitely for sure, because, like, I made you cover up a couple of my mole scars, and I just feel better, like, mm-hmm. not seeing them. Like, I still have the one on my chest that I hate. I'm like, do I do a fucking chest piece just for the one at my
No, throat? Why do you hate that? It's pretty cool, actually.
No, God.
Cool. Why?
I hate it, because, like, I had an ugly-ass mole there, and now I have a slit in my fucking neck, and people are always like, oh, did you get your thyroid out? I'm like, no, but thanks for pointing it out, you
yeah,
fucker.
Yep. But, you know, a lot of
people
that,
are always insecure about
it. Like, I got in a bar fight and got stabbed by a piece of glass.
I should make up a different story every time.
It's true. You could make up a different story, or you could ask yourself, why is this person asking? And that's what I always kind of go to, is like, I know it's not okay to, like, follow a question with a question, but that's what I always kind of go to, because think about it. They might have known somebody who had that happen to them.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it's a connection kind of thing. It's all about starting conversations. But with, you know, tattooing, you can kind of, that's why I like things that don't have a lot of verbal cues in them, literary text, because it kind of says the whole thing, and it takes away from your capacity to be like, you know, I just like birds, or I just
You
like
really
this.
Changed my opinion about that
yeah.
in a good way. Like, I was yeah. like, I don't want fucking words anymore. But it's, like, crazy. It's, like, it's a more mature way of thinking. Like, you know, rather than being like, oh, here's my cousin's birth and death date. I have a rose, and I know it's
right.
for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not to knock anybody that does do it. Like, that's what they chose. But, like, you just have matured my way of thinking. I'm mm-hmm. like, rather than, like, oh, if I really like these lyrics, find something that represents those lyrics. And, like, it's been
yeah.
really cool to, like, think differently.
Yeah.
Or even just to give you more control has been really nice. I'm like, hey, Amy, I want an ocean sleeve. These are a few of the things I want, but you come up with the design. Because,
yeah.
like, I don't fucking know.
Don't
and you know what?
Know.
The first one that I let you do that was the peacock feathers, and I remember feeling really weird about it, and you put it on my body, and it's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
it still is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Kyle's messaging me.
Yeah, he sent me something about a baby.
Kyle,
yeah,
Kyle is
he
not
asked
autonomous
me to, if he wanted to get it or
himself.
If he should get
him,
it, and I was like, yes.
Him and Nicole are a thing. Like, no, they're not a thing, but they're like best friends. And we can't have Nicole without
Must.
Kyle.
Oh, my God. But Rico and Kyle are, like, the same person.
Oh,
so they're, like, buddy-buddy now. It's
awesome.
Crazy that, like, our circle started with you, and then it joined me. And then I brought Kyle into it, like, hey, here's my best friend. And then you met Rico, and it's like, hey, all four of us get along really well, and it's always a good time and lots
uh-huh.
of laughs. Like, I cried twice yesterday from laughing.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
But it's such a good release. Like, you feel so good when someone makes you cry laugh.
Hell yeah.
Although Rico's attempting to make me pee my pants laughing, which is never going to happen.
Oh,
I have
happen.
A bladder of a nurse.
It'll happen.
I have a bladder of a nurse.
I still,
yeah,
but he made me cry laugh because he's like, you could be dehydrated and I will make you pee your pants. And it got me right in the giggles because I was
right,
like, my nursing brain went straight to like, oh, if I was dehydrated with my kidney function. And I'm like, oh my fucking God, that's actually a really funny comment. You will not make me pee my pants. Although I desperately
happen.
Have to pee after this cup of coffee.
I do too. I'm like waiting. So let's wrap.
Let's wrap it up.
I have some things to announce, which is great because it was good content for the new
great,
year.
Yeah, good talk.
And I love talking to you, and I love, you know, like, again, you're so good about like the social medias of it, and like you can help me with this.
Oh, you know I'm going to post this again.
Yeah, you should.
Like, oh, yeah, totally. Always. You're on
I always shout it out. I don't know if anyone watched, but I told you a bunch of my friends texted me last time.
Listened. If people do ask you who your tattoo artist is, you can turn them onto the podcast and be like, listen to this first.
And tell me you don't want to listen to this for you.
Right. And if this isn't your jam, then I'm telling you, you probably should look elsewhere. Because that kind of was a goal of the podcast, was that I was tired of ferreting through all these things from a level that I couldn't be me with. Like, an email, I can only put so many emojis. I can only, like, craft them so many ways for people to kind of get what they're going to get when they sit down with me. And I just felt like I wasn't showing people what the experience of being, at least with me, but I know it is a lot of part of our studio, is like this kind of thing that we're creating. And I wanted a way to get out there and you know, right now our followers are mostly people who already,
already know.
But like, I'd love it to It'll be branch something out. That like, you know, as a suggestion to my listeners, like if you know somebody who keeps asking about your tattoos, give them this podcast, because one, we talk about a lot of things that not the layperson talks about, that are ways to craft your tattoo experience, or at least start thinking about that. Yeah. And then, you know, then you can approach your artist with more arsenal, more tools, and you might be able to get what you want a lot more.
But can I tell you, the last time you did this, I shouted it out, posted it, like, hey, like, listen to me talk. And I remember my one friend texted me, he's like, because we were tattooing at the time, he said, yo, my tattoo experiences do not have that much conversation. And I'm like, you're missing out. But like, I'm telling you, the second I stepped into you guys' shop versus what I had already experienced, which wasn't a bad experience, it just blew me away. The couches, the snacks, the coffee, the water, the conversation, I'm like, I can never go back.
Yeah.
But it's really nice for people to listen to this, because this is exactly what it's like the whole 8 hours I am being tattooed. Our conversation never stops. It always flows. And it's random. Just great. It's so random. Yeah. Like,
and you know, it's funny. It's like the other night before we brought you in, you know, for the podcast, like, we started talking, and I brought up paranormal shit.
I know. Yeah. And we got on that, but it was a lot better because
I was like, I'm getting this in.
I love talking about paranormal stuff.
Oh, I know. Me too.
I love it.
If you want part of those excerpts, I mean, I still have, I think I deleted them. Sorry.
She was like, it's trash.
Like, sound cards, crap. crap.
Shit. I'm sorry. But no, like, we can have I think that's what it was. I was putting so much on, like, having a New Year's launch that I literally was paralyzed in doing it, because it had to be something that I was really excited about. And when you put, it's like anything with anxiety, if you put so much pressure on it before you do it, you just get paralyzed. You just don't do it.
It's true.
And I'm as susceptible to that or not. And like, just even doing this podcast, I remember the first one that we did, we recorded it like a million times because I just wasn't happy with the launch. And then finally I was like, fuck it. This has to go out. We have to do something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have to do this. So, but with 2020, there's, I do recommend it to everybody in both relationships and business, is that if you get to a point of business where you can ignore people, start doing it more, because it will free you up to the things that you want to do. And one of the things that I've been doing is, like, I've been taking time away from tattooing, actually, to pursue more of the podcast goals. And one of them was kind of not rebranding, but we're going to redirect our focus a little bit. It's still going to be on apprenticeships, but we'd like to do apprenticeships at large. Like, we'd like to not just do tattooing, because what I'm saying is that learning from a apprenticeship level is probably congruent for a lot of people, but it'll open up ways for people to, you know, see education and maybe what their qualities are without having to do all this formal stuff, you know, that people ask you. And it really just, you know, it depends on what kind of thing that you're pursuing, but I have a lot of belief in apprenticeships being, the best way, because there's not a separation between what you're learning and what you're actually doing. It's just all in one thing. So I'd like to explore more just, you know, alternate term or forms of education in general, because I think they're going to be great moving forward. So we'd like to do that more. I mean, again, it's going to be mostly tattoo artists that we're interviewing, but
hey, it's cool you're bringing clients on.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
That's going to be everybody at one point.
And I think that that's something that people don't understand about tattoo artists is that we meet the community. You know, it's like your hairstylist. Like, we meet the community and we deal with a lot of different kinds of people that, like, if you just look at us and think we're some subversive freak, it's like, no, man, like, we're in the thick of it. Like, we're just, you know, we're kind of like the, I don't know, I kind of
We can swap stories. It's cool. Yeah. I have my nurse stories. You have your client stories. Well, like,
and we all learn. And with nursing, too, I know that within it, there's so many tiers of education. Like, you know, you start out with a very studied kind of thing. Then you have to do clinicals and things like that where you are on site. And you have to learn all these different things so that you're immersed in different ways of applying your knowledge.
And I'm still learning. Even the older nurses, they're like, I get told new things every day.
Right.
Because the medical field is developing.
Yes.
We develop with it.
Exactly. And that's the same thing with tattooing, too, is that, like, if you are having education that is literally you're in it and you're experiencing all these things as they're developing, it's so cool.
Is that what he's saying? The Taco Bell. Taco Bell Baby Yoda.
But they're memeing. We got to wrap this up because we all got to pee. But there's a refocus on apprenticeships in general. We do have a new logo that's out.
Yep.
I posted.
Simplified. And new swag.
Yep. New swag that I've posted on TeePublic. So if you guys are
interested. Was it TeePublic.com?
Yes. It's www.teepublic.com/user/the-apprenticeship-diaries if you want to be directly routed there. But there's links on the Instagram page if you guys are interested in rocking our swag. Don't know if that's going to be an interest for a while. We might have to get some clout, but I think the new logo is pretty cool. It's a mixture between, the inspiration was Rico said, you need something more like the Ramones logo. And then I looked at the Ramones logo and then Starbucks was like a big influence for me growing up. Cause that's how I learned a lot of my marketing kind of tools was working.
Well, just a simplified logo, something that was catchy. That's like, you know, can be branded.
Yes.
You
well,
know.
And be seen from far away because what I noticed was that the one that we have is really good for the podcast because you're seeing it and you're like, oh, that's cool. But you're looking at your phone or you're looking at your computer. You're not looking at a distance. And what I created was something that I think can register on a hoodie from afar and still say it. And what I used as inspiration was this Hindu goddess named Saraswati. And I hope I'm saying that right, but she's basically, it's really cool. She's always cloaked in like white and on top of a white lotus. And she's either riding a swan or a peacock. I said, fuck it. I did both, you know, and it's the symbol. Basically her name derives from two different things, but it's basically like, what is it? Pooling water is like the first part of her name or speech. And then the next part of her name is she who possesses. So she who possesses all of the purification of the water or, you know, this woman that possesses speech. So I thought that would be a really good thing to have for a podcast. And she's also the goddess of learning. So I thought, like, for our symbol or our totem mascot, Saraswati would be like the good one. Plus, I'm non-denominational and you know, it's not neither here nor there, but I do love symbols of religion and faith. Mm-hmm. And I just think they're so cool. And whenever you come to me for a tattoo, if you are just going to irreverently put something on you, I'm probably going to tell you about 10 things about that object you did not know. Because this is what I do. I dive into symbolism. And then I start being like, well, this means
this is where you and Josh got into an argument because Josh is like, I don't give a fuck. I don't want an Amy Nichols tattoo. I want what I want.
I know.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, I was like, oh, shit.
Yep. So
that's honesty, though.
I know. And I told him, I was like, well, you don't have to come to me then, Josh. Like, I'm not.
I was like laughing.
I'm not here like, to tell you great. That I'm your fit for a tattoo, but I'm definitely not going to be forced to do what you want me to do. Like, you need to understand the limits of this here. Like, go to a person that has no problem whatsoever doing whatever you want them to do. I'm just going to tell you, they're not going to be looking out for your ass. They're going to take your money and they're going to be like, okay, man, you want this on you? Fine. I'm not spell checking shit. I'm not going to go over what this means in a greater sense. I'm just going to fucking put it on you. So if that's the kind of shit you want, that's cool. Mm-hmm. We're probably not going to be in alignment, you and me. So that's fine. And then also, I wanted to say that we have a Patreon out. It's new. There's no Patreons as of right now. I don't expect there to be one for a while until we get bonus content and things like that. But there is a Patreon out there. So if you guys wanted to patronize us and give us a little money for the effort, that's great. And support, you know, the advancement of this. I'm trying to grow it, you know, all the time. But I know it's baby steps. And that's a big thing that I'm all about is, like, you know, small habitual things that quantify to a bigger thing in the end. And that's what Nicole was actually learning about her leg sleeve is that it,
oh my God,
can't happen all at once.
Yeah, she was talking mad shit, like, man, I'm gonna get this done.
I sat for 8.5 fucking hours. I like to see you do that, Rico.
Now you challenged it. So it's like, I'll break that 8.5 hours.
Please dig into his chest extra hard.
It doesn't even matter. I'm
gonna
beat
there
that
and see you cry.
I'm gonna. What'd you last?
And
eight
I will
hours
not bring you hot
and
coffee.
30 minutes. 8 hours and 30 minutes.
Oh my fucking God!
Right, I'll do 8 hours and 31 minutes.
I hate his competitiveness because I'm competitive, and it makes me want to punch him in the throat.
Yeah.
The thing is,
go ahead, break your tiny fist.
Stop, I'm going to pee my pants. I got to pee.
With that, folks, we're going to wrap it. You've heard it all. He admitted on air
that he's going to take it like a champ.
Yep.
Because I did.
Look, I used to get spinal taps, man. You take a little bit.
He told me a month ago, I'm never fucking getting tattooed again. That shit hurt.
Yeah, then I changed
my mind. Now he's
online.
Like, oh, Amy's going to do a chest piece and I'm going to take it.
And now I'm really going to do it. And it's going to be like a 9-hour session.
Guys, I found my long-lost brother.
Sis.
I swear to God, I just gained another brother.
Yep.
At least he didn't blow up the bathroom before he took a shower.
Damn, I will next time.
On that note, I'm leaving.
You're being there like, why are my eyes burning?
This is not how we can end it. Rico shits.
I think that's how we're ending it.
You're like brushing your teeth like, why is this mint so sour?
I smell worse. Trust me.
Oh, I believe it.
Don't give people ideas.
No, do you know? Never mind. Nope.
No, let's hear it.
Hey, wait. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
If you would like to reach out to us at The Apprenticeship Diaries, we hope that you do. You can email us at theapprenticeshipdiaries@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram. The Instagram account is @the_apprenticeship_diaries. Please feel free to follow us. We hope that you do. We'd also like to grow platforms and have more listening venues. Please feel free to contact us any way you'd like, and definitely contact us if you'd like to interview. Thank you.